Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast on Sunday, January 13th, 2019. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching. Her message this Sunday is Beloved. The Old Testament lesson today is Psalm 29, and the New Testament lesson is Mark 1, 4 through 11.
Ease and the convenience of turning on the tap. Because certainly it was not that way in biblical times. In Jesus' times, if you wanted water, you would have to find it in a river, or maybe in the sea, or you would have to draw it from a well. And so John the Baptist did his ministry with water at the river Jordan. And he was out there in the wilderness. Now today, if you take a trip to Israel and Palestine, and some of you I know have, you find out there is actually more than one location on the Jordan River where they think that John the Baptist's ministry took place. There's one location that says, we're the authentic site, and there's another location that says, no, we're the authentic site. The tour guide who assisted me in my time there about 5 years ago found the southern site to be more believable because it is out in the desert. It is away from other towns. And he thought that this better matches the description we get in Mark's gospel. So what was John out there in the wilderness doing? Well, according to scripture in Mark, in verse 4, John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness. I mean, we knew he was alive, but he appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, wait. How is it that John is offering a baptism of forgiveness? Jesus isn't the one offering forgiveness. This is John performing baptisms of forgiveness. So I got curious this week, what was this John guy actually doing out there? I mean, was this an already existing ritual? And like many biblical mysteries, I did not get a definitive answer. But here's what I researched and learned this week to be able to share with you all. Indeed, the Jews at the first century did have cleansing rituals. And specifically in the first century, one particular sect, they're called the Essenes, were elevating those cleansing rituals and performing baptisms. So baptism was an existing practice, but it was not widely practiced across the Jewish communities. The idea is John the Baptist may have visited and studied with these Essenes for a time. They were indeed out in the wilderness. They were indeed the folks from whom we think we get the legacy of the Dead Sea Scrolls. But we don't have good evidence that John actually joined that sect. But had he spent some time with those Essenes, then he would have learned about this baptism. And then John, it does really seem, made it his own and started doing a specific baptism. It's not a brand new idea, but he certainly made it more specific. And in John's baptism, it's an act of cleansing and preparation for God's coming judgment. And John's baptism had these qualities to them. It seems like it was done only once, because it was done as an initiation rite. And so you only need to step into the sect once. Two, this initiation, as he learned from the Essenes, could be for Jews, but it could also be for non-Jews who were looking to convert. And the location out in the wilderness gave exposure to both folks who are Jewish and non-Jewish. The third characteristic of John's baptism is that, and this seems obvious to me now, but you don't baptize yourself. The person who is coming to be baptized comes seeking the ritual, and they come more passively, and then John is the one who is actively baptizing. And so John is out there doing his thing, and people, verse 5, from the Judean countryside, as well as from the big city of Jerusalem, were going out of their way to get to the wilderness to be baptized by John. They were confessing their sins and receiving this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And then in those days, Jesus himself came also to be baptized. Again, I found it I just had all these assumptions that, like, Jesus baptized people? Jesus never baptized anybody, as we see in the Gospels. He is baptized. And John is the one who performs the baptism. Now, baptism, how's your Greek? Baptism actually comes from the Greek word baptizin, which means to immerse, or to dip, or to plunge. So it is likely that John the Baptist was completely immersing and submerging the people who came to him. I'm not going to go get into that tangent today, because there's lots of church controversies over immersion versus sprinkling. And some of you may have been immersed. Presbyterians do the sprinkling, although there's no prohibition against being immersed. And so as Jesus was immersed under the water, and then as he was coming up out of the surface of the water, the heavens were torn apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove came upon him, and that voice from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." A sign of love and affirmation and approval. And so today, as we've celebrated the birthday of Christ, and then we start walking towards the cross, we start with remembering Christ's baptism. But it's also a time to remember our own baptismal covenant as well, our promises to God and God's promises to us. Some people in this room got baptized when you were infants, and so you don't have any memories. Maybe you have a photograph. Maybe you have stories from other folks who were there. Some of you maybe were baptized at an age where you have some memories or vague memories. The baptism in the Presbyterian tradition happens only once. The Lord's Supper, which is our other sacrament, we do that often, about one time a month. But baptism requires a different intentionality to actually come and say, "I desire this. I want to be baptized," either for oneself or for the children in one's household. And so in the Presbyterian church, you would meet with the pastor ahead of time and talk over, what does this mean? What does it mean to enter in this rite of initiation? And then in worship, these are the questions that are asked. Do you put your whole trust in the grace of love of Jesus Christ? And do you desire to be baptized? It's a question. It's not forced upon you, it's a question. And if you do, you present yourself as a candidate for baptism. And then the community affirms that we indeed would accept this person. And then there's a statement of faith. Hear these questions about what we as Presbyterians ask folks. Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world? That's the confession part, and it comes from ancient church questions. And sometimes the response is, I renounce them. I want to put that behind me. The next question is, who is your Lord and Savior? And the response is, Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? And the response is, I will with God's help. And lastly, will you devote yourself to the church's teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers? And the response is, I will with God's help. And then the whole church attests to faith in the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The font is filled with water, and the person is baptized. Now, although sometimes pastors, and I've seen this, they'll have a little vial of water from the River Jordan, like, hey, I went there, and you add a couple drops in. But actually, ordinary water is perfectly fine. Because God gives us the gift of ordinary water for cleansing. And then with the blessing of God, it becomes an extraordinary sign. This is the thing about sacraments like the Lord's Supper and communion. They're not abstract. They come with something physical and tangible. So in communion, you've got the bread, and you've got the juice and the wine. And in baptism, you have water. Real water. And it's because we know things about water. We feel and touch water on a regular basis. Now, you know, and I know, water has many purposes, whether you drink it or you use it in the garden or it falls out in the rain. But today I want to highlight a particular purpose of water. It goes back to that washing story. Because water is what comes out of your shower when you turn on the tap. And this is a basic understanding of water. Water is something that can wash and wash off what's not you. And so in the waters of baptism and the idea of sin being kind of the dirty stuff that sticks to you, baptism is water washing. It's washing off and becoming clean. The Psalms speak of washing so that you can be whiter than snow. And one of the ideas about washing that came to me this week is this understanding that the dirt and the grime is actually not your essential being. That's the stuff that sticks to you and clings to you. And that in baptism, those things are what get washed away, and you come back to your essential self, which is that you are God's beloved. And so if you've been baptized, you are already claimed as God's beloved child. But those self-doubts and self-rejection, the criticism of bosses or family members or society, tries to stick on to us. And in baptism, we have the opportunity to remember that those are not who we are. Henry Nouwen, in his seminal work, Life of the Beloved, says this, and I've read this quote in worship before, but it fit this sermon, and I need the reminder, and perhaps we all do. He says this, over the years, I have come to realize that the greatest trap in our life is not success, popularity, or power, but self-rejection. Success, popularity, and power can indeed present a great temptation, but their seductive quality often comes from the way they are part of the much larger temptation to self-rejection. When we have come to believe in the voices that call us worthless and unlovable, Then success, popularity, and power are easily perceived as attractive solutions. The real trap, however, is self-rejection. As soon as someone accuses me or criticizes me, as soon as I am rejected, left alone, or abandoned, I find myself thinking, well, that proves once again that I'm a nobody. My dark side says, I am no good. I deserve to be pushed aside, forgotten, rejected, and abandoned. Self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice of God that calls us the beloved. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of our existence. And so in the waters of baptism this morning, we remember this. We remember that being beloved is indeed our identity and the core truth of our existence. And so we will celebrate the sacrament this day, not by rebaptizing, because we Presbyterians don't do that, but by reaffirming the baptismal covenant and by an invitation to reaffirm your baptism.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.